Did you enjoy hearing that song at Calvary? Amen. Have you ever heard it before? Yes. Did you enjoy singing Nothing But the Blood? Amen. Have you heard it before? Yes. Okay, if you've heard this sermon before, just remember you can enjoy it a second time. Let's turn to Luke chapter 24. I preached this at home on Sunday, and then in the next 24 hours, had to practice what I preached and failed miserably. And so I'm going to preach it again tonight and hope that God doesn't give me another opportunity to put it into practice. But I want to read together with you from Luke 24, starting at verse 1. And we'll read a lengthy portion of the scripture, and then we'll go back and talk about it. The Bible says, Luke 24, 1, "Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre with pom-poms and noisemakers and other items of celebration to watch Jesus come out of the grave." Does that any of your Bible say that? I didn't think so. All right. "They came unto the sepulchre bringing the spices which they had prepared and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre, and they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments, and as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? What are you doing here with ointments and spices for a corpse? Who are you looking for? Verse number 6, He is not here, but is risen. Remember how He spake unto you when He was yet in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered His words, and returned from the sepulchre and told all these things unto the 11 and to all the rest. And it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, and other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles." Watch this. "And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. Then arose Peter and ran out of the sepulchre, and stooping down, he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves and departed, wondering in himself at that which was come to pass." Now, I'm going to say something, then we'll pray, and we might read a little farther now. We might wait till later, read a little bit farther. This is the greatest event in the history of the world. And this event was foretold by Jesus again and again and again and again. No doubt in every village into which He entered, He proclaimed this good news. He sent the disciples and the apostles to proclaim this truth over and over and over again for 3.5 years. He has told them, "I'm going to Jerusalem, I'm going to lay down my life, I'm going to rise from the dead." And not one of them believed it. This is not the Pharisees. These are not the Sadducees. This is not the scribes, it's not the Romans. These are the people who left all and followed Jesus for 3.5 years and heard Him say, "This is what I'm going to do." And not a one of them believed it. When the women come back from the tomb and tell the apostles, Peter, James, John, Andrew, Bartholomew, their words seem to them as idle tales. That's pretty amazing, isn't it? Yeah. Well, you know, everybody before Calvary looked forward to the cross. Produce one such person. Yeah. Jesus said, "I'm going to go to Jerusalem, die." And Peter took him and began to rebuke him. "No, you're not, Lord. You listen to me, I'll tell you what you're going to do." Yeah. That's pretty amazing, isn't it? All right, we'll come back and visit those verses again in just a minute. 13, "And behold, two of them went the same day to a village called Emmaus, which is from Jerusalem about 80 furlongs, and they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together in reason, Jesus Himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden, they should not know Him. He said to them, What manner of communications are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad. Okay, here's what I want to talk about tonight. If on the morning of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, his disciples are sad, if on the very day that sin, death, hell, and the grave have been conquered for them, they are sad. If, as they walk together with other disciples and talk about Jesus, they are sad. If, with Jesus in their midst, they are sad. You can sit in a church like this through singing like you just heard and joyfully receive the visits of missionary friends from around the world. And you can sit right through the whole thing with a heavy heart and sit right through the whole thing without any joy. And we've all done it. We've all done it. We can mutter our way through when we all get to heaven. 2 weeks ago, having shouted about it, and today, hardly able to utter a peep, and sometimes not even know why. You know, I've been preaching since 1977. I've been pastoring or trying to pastor since 1981. And I'm going to tell you something. Well, I used to go to churches, and people everywhere I went were talking about the rapture. That's what they talked about. How long do you think before the Lord comes? You think the Lord come this year? You think he'll be here tonight? And when we parted company, we'd say things like, see you here, there, or in the air. All the time. That's what saved people talked about. Now I go from church to church to church to church, and here's what I hear him talking about. I'm depressed. Are you depressed? How long have you been depressed? How do you deal with depression? I'm not kidding. I'm not kidding. I have never seen a bunch of saved people who know so much about Jesus and so much about the Lord's, what the Lord's done for them, who are so consistently down in the dumps as though everything was going great until Obama got in. And now what's Jesus going to do? Now I'm telling you, you can have the best salvation, which we do, and the best Savior, which we do, and be in the second best church in America, right after ours, and sit through singing like you just heard and miss it all. And we've all been there and we've all done it. You say, well, you know, you don't know what's going on in my life. And I don't. And if I was a better pastor, I'd want to know. Reason I've lasted 30 years at our church is I'm gone every other week. I'm there, they get to remember what I'm like, and I go away for a week, and they miss me, and then I come back, and they... just how it is. You think I'm joking. But you know what? Whatever it is that you're going through, there's an empty tomb. There's a risen Christ. Sins are forgiven. The blood's washed them all away. But listen, if these people on this morning could set all of that aside and be sad, so can you. And if the people on the very day of the Lord's resurrection couldn't be happy, then it's quite possible for every one of us, in spite of all our blessings, to be sad. And tonight I'm going to show you why it happens, and I'm going to show you the cure for it. In one night, I'm going to put Dr. Phil and Oprah and your shrink and everybody else right out of business. Doesn't take long. All right, let's pray. Father, help us this evening to believe your word in the places where we most need to believe it. Lord, help us to believe what you've said about our walk down the Emmaus Road. Help us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's go back to verse 1. It's the first day of the week. The people that have a job to do get up very early in the morning. They come out, as we've already said, to keep the core... I know this sounds awful. You know, you know why they're there? To keep the decaying corpse of Jesus Christ from being too offensively smelly as it rots in the tomb. You know, if God hadn't given the Holy Ghost, this church would have never got off the ground. You know, that's the best people he's got. And for all he taught them and for all he showed them, it just went right by them. Just like he'd never said a word. That's what they're doing on resurrection morning. And so the Bible says they found the stone rolled away from the sepulcher. They entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. Wouldn't you think the stone rolled away would have been a hint? Oh, wow. Soldiers are gone. Stone's moved. Let's go see if the body's there. Shouldn't it have dawned on them? Oh, yeah, resurrection. But it didn't. So they go inside, the tomb is empty, and the Bible says it came to pass as they were much perplexed thereabout. Okay, now watch this. It's year one. They go to a village. A crowd comes out. He heals some sick people. He cleanses some lepers. He gives sight to some blind. They all sit down. He said, now look, here's what we're going to do. I'm going to go to Jerusalem. I'm going to be betrayed in the hands of sinful men. I'm going to lay down my life and die. And 3 days and three nights later, I'm going to rise from the dead. How about that, townsfolk? Is that good news? Yeah, that's good news. How about it, Peter? Yes, sir, Lord. John, you like that? Oh, yeah, Lord, that's great. That scene was repeated on a daily basis for 3.5 years. And the people who heard it thousands of times walk out of the empty tomb saying, what in the world happened here? This doesn't make any sense. Where's the body? Isn't that astonishing? I mean, really, if you just think about it, it's mind-boggling that level of dedication to somebody you don't trust. Come on. The fishing boat is rotting in the dock. Barnacles are growing on the bottom of it. The nets have not been mended. The business has a closed sign on it. And Peter, James, and John are asking, what kind of rewards are we going to get? We've left all to follow you. And Jesus said, I got an idea. Why don't you believe something I say? One time they're arguing over who's going to be the greatest. How do you go and ask Jesus which person in the room's the best? You Sunday school teachers and Bible school teachers, you think you get frustrated? Well, you know, I'm a teacher, I'm doing the best I can, they're not getting it. How do you think Jesus felt? And when he tried to straighten them out on who's the greatest in the room, they went and got mom. Said, you go ask him. And the Lord, he goes out that night and says, Father, I got to start a church with this. I'm not so sure about that gates of hell thing anymore. If I hadn't said it, I'd be wondering if it was going to work. I'm telling you, they were much perplexed there, but behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid, bowed down their face to the earth, they said to them, why seek ye the living among the dead? Isn't this great news? He's not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and the third day rise again. That's the gospel, 1 Corinthians 15:1-3. That's the gospel. Now look at verse 8. And they remembered his words. Wouldn't you like to have read, and they believed his words? They didn't believe them, they just remembered them. Oh, yeah, that's what he said. Thanks. Where is he? What happened to him? You know you can memorize scripture and not believe it? Do you know when the preacher starts preaching, you can look at the person next to you and say, I've heard that before. I know where he's going with this. And not be affected by it? They heard it, they learned it, they didn't apply it, they didn't believe it, and when they were reminded of what he said, guess what? They remembered. That's it. They just remembered. They're no better off than they were. Verse 9. and returned from the sepulcher, told all these things unto the 11 to all the rest. And see, the women went to the sepulcher, and the men are still back at the house waiting for the women to get there and fix breakfast. And they can't go do anything until somebody feeds them. That's how that goes. They're not going to cook them bacon and eggs. That won't be till Acts 10. So in verse number 10, some of you get that on the way home. It was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary the mother. Don't turn to Acts 10 now. It's not. Just stay in there. It was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary the mother of James and other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. Come on, that's the cream of the crop. That's the best we got. And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. Whose words are they? Well, the women, no. Well, the angels, no. It's what Jesus told them. The apostles considered the words of Jesus to be idle tales even after they came to pass. What the Bible says, that'll wreck your dispensational chart. But there it is. Now, can I tell you something tonight? And I'm glad we got a King James Bible and a good church to go to, and we study the Scripture, and we know the Scripture, and we can teach the Scripture, and we can go to the ends of the earth as missionaries and teach other people the Bible. If God hadn't put His Holy Spirit inside you, you wouldn't know a thing. Stop taking any glory to yourself and give the glory to God. You say, well, if I could, I wish I could have been there and seen. You are better off sitting here with the Holy Ghost inside you than following Jesus for 3.5 years and wondering what in the world He's talking about. Come on, the proof's right there. Oh, if I could have seen the empty tomb. They saw it and went home and couldn't figure out what had happened. It's pretty amazing, isn't it? Then arose Peter and ran unto the sepulchre, and stooping down, he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves and departed, wondering in himself at that which has come to pass. Peter walks out of the tomb and says, I wonder what is going on. Well, is that not amazing? To me, God's power, I don't want you to take this wrong, God's power is not amazing to me. That God could create the heavens and the earth. Well, of course He can. He's God. That God could walk on water, or God could raise the dead. Well, of course He's God. What amazes me is how clueless man is. Man's the marvel, not God. David said, when I consider the heavens, the work of thy fingers, and the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, I say, he doesn't say how great God is. He says, what is man? Why do you even think about us? All right, now I want to take a little side trip here. It's one I enjoy because it illustrates the point. Do you know that the Jews paid men to say that the disciples came and stole the body? You remember reading that in the Scripture? And that saying is reported among the Jews to this day. Remember reading that in the Bible? Okay, now, I want you to think about something. Here's the tomb right here. And there's soldiers whose life depends upon guarding that tomb. Okay, and they're standing right there. And these disciples come out in the middle of the night. And sneak past those guards and get to that tomb undetected. It's already beyond belief. Then they get one behind another. It looked like putting up the flag at Iwo Jima. And they're pushing on that stone. And it rolls without a creak. It rolls without making a sound. And carefully and gently, the disciples move that stone away. Those soldiers never flinch. They never hear a thing. Now, come on, nobody here believes that. But they go inside, there's the body, and John puts his arms up under the arms of the lifeless body of Jesus, and James gets his arms wrapped around the legs of the lifeless body of Jesus, and they start out, and Andrew says, "Stop. Take off the clothes." What? Take off the clothes. Are you kidding me? You're going to sneak past soldiers in the middle of the night to steal a grave out of a body out of a grave, and you're going to stop to undress it? Why? It'll be lighter. What? It doesn't even make any sense. Now, I can prove that didn't happen, ladies. Because the cross reference says when they found the clothes in the tomb, they were folded. There's no way three men took clothes off of anything and folded them. That did not happen. They were neatly placed on the shelf. Can you imagine? Here they are 2 miles down the road, and somebody says, what are you doing with that naked body? Shh, we're stealing it. You know something? This world, they make fun of people who believe the Bible. I take the liberty to make fun of them. I believe there's a much better explanation for it. The one who wore those grave clothes knew he would never need them again. May as well leave them behind. I'm never going to wear these things again. So anyway, that's my take. Verse 13. Now, behold, two of the people who saw that the tomb was empty, heard that the tomb was empty, heard from angels that the tomb was empty. Two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. So here's two disciples in fellowship discussing the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And they're sad. Right company, right conversation, and they're sad. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. Now it's even better. Two disciples in fellowship, talking about the Lord and the Lord's present, and they're sad. Can happen to you, bet it has. Will happen to you again. Guarantee it. And their eyes were holding, they should not know him. And he said unto them, what manner of communications are these that you have one to another as you walk and are sad? And one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem? Well, yeah, sort of. He could have said, I'm not really from around here. Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, what things? Now that's Jesus. What things? Now maybe he's just baiting them into giving an answer. Or maybe he's thinking, well, let's see. I just conquered sin. I just conquered death. I just conquered hell. I just conquered the grave. I just bruised the serpent's head. I just tore the veil of the temple from top to bottom. I just made it possible for anybody to have everlasting life if they just put their faith and trust in me. And you guys are sad. Something must have happened I didn't hear about. What happened at Jerusalem has got you guys so down in the dumps? That's how we get. Boy, people come in, they're shaking hands, they're hugging each other. The choir sings, the congregation sings, the preacher preaches, everybody's saying amen and shouting praise God, and you're sitting right, yeah, they don't know what I'm going through. They only knew what was happening in my life. And look, I'm not being critical because I do it. And you've done it, and you'll do it again. And the Lord said, what's so bad that it cancels out what I just did? I'm gonna show you what happened. We're gonna get there, we're almost there. And he sent them what things? And they said unto him concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty indeed, and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted. Look at that word. But we trusted. It's past tense. They did, but they don't. There was confidence, but it's gone. There was hope, but it's forsaken. There was faith, but it's been abandoned. Now, you ready for the message? Okay, it's time for the message. All that was just entertainment because you drove a long way and we couldn't do this in 5 minutes. You'd feel cheated. And so here's the message. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. Now here's three words. If you're a Bible marker, here's the three words for you to mark. He should have. You ready? You know why you sit in a great church sometimes just as down the dumps as you can be? Because Jesus didn't do what you thought he was going to do. Instead, he did what he said he was going to do. You know why all the blessings you got in your life, sometimes they're just not good enough to get you happy and get you rich? You know why? Because the Lord didn't do what you wanted him to do. Instead, he did what he said he would do. Come on, that's it. That's your depression. That's my depression. That's everybody's depression in a nutshell. God didn't answer my prayer the way I wanted answered. God didn't make that person do what I wanted God to make that person do. God didn't cause that situation to turn out the way I wanted that situation to turn out. And you know what? You guys can sing all you want. God let me down. You can shout hallelujah all you want. The Lord didn't come through for me. Come on, let's confession time. Let's just all say that's me. I got saved. There's a verse in the Bible. It said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. So, it's guaranteed. All my relatives are going to get saved, and it's going to be one big happy family reunion around the throne of God. And they didn't. And I was pretty upset with the Lord about that for a long, long time. And the more I read the Bible, the more I realized there are about 40 cross references for believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And there's not a single cross reference for and thy house. One's a general rule for all men everywhere. The other happened one night in a Philippian jailer's house. And it bugged me that God would do that much for a smoker and he wouldn't do that for me. You don't remember that earthquake? The jailer sprang in and asked for a light. How many of you remember that? You got to read your Bible carefully, man. Now, and so, you've prayed for somebody to get healed, and they didn't. You've asked God to fix a church problem, and it only got worse. You prayed for the Lord to stop that split from happening, and come on. From the time you found out you were going to have a baby, You and your husband prayed and you sang hymns to that child and you raised that baby up in church and you did the five things the book said to do that would turn out spiritual giants. And some of you spent the last 20 years of your life praying for God to bring your wayward child home. You didn't think God was going to let that happen to you. But he did. You know, somewhere tonight in the United States of America, a man that loves God and believes every word of this Bible and lives for Jesus just found out his wife is committing adultery on him. Do you think he ever expected God to let that happen to him? You know, somewhere tonight, a girl that lived pure and lived right and saved herself for marriage and married a guy that looked for all the world like he was sold out to Jesus. You know, 6 years into that marriage, she just found out that guy's messing with dope. She never thought God let that happen in her life. I'm telling you, there are going to be things that happen in every one of our lives that we didn't think the God we trusted would ever allow to come to pass. These men could not believe that their beloved Messiah would let those men kill him. But you know what? He did what he said. He doesn't do what we want. He does what he promised. And those circumstances in your life and those circumstances in my life which make us sad, it's because, look at the words, he should have. Lord, you should have fixed that for me. Lord, you should have prevented that for me. Lord, you should have come through for me. Now, fortunately for us, Jesus is compassionate, isn't he? And he's loving. And he's gracious. And he's kind. And he's tender-hearted, and he's long-suffering. So watch what he does for these two sad disciples. Verse 25, then he said unto them, O fools. How's that? That's why you pay a shrink $100 for a half hour. You want to lay on the couch and get sympathy. And Jesus said, it ain't my problem you didn't believe me. You brought this on yourself. Oh, fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. You're right. Come on, now watch this. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded on them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. You know what Jesus' cure was for their disciples? This is what I said. 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 Start believing what I said. Stop hoping, stop dreaming, stop wishing, and believe me. I'm not trying to make light of your sorrows. I don't want you to make light of mine. But I'm telling you, when I go from high to low, there's some unbelief in my heart. When I go from rejoicing to complaining, there's some unbelief in my heart. And the only cure for it, the only cure for it is to get back in this book and get back to the focus of your attention and the confidence of your heart on Jesus Christ. He'll do everything he said he would do right as he said he would do it, exactly when he said he would do it, and as long as you're locked in agreement with his word, it's resurrection morning. And if all you wanted was for God to do something for you on the greatest day in the history of the world, you can walk down the road with a poochy lip and a sad heart. It's just true. Picture in your mind, maybe some of you have been here before. Picture in your mind some person who really knows nothing about God and nothing about the Bible, but they begin to feel some longing or some need in their soul. And tonight, they're going to go through 240 channels on their cable system and try to find something about God. And they finally find one station where a guy is standing in a scene something similar to this that looks like it might be a preacher. And that guy is talking to unsaved Gentiles in Texas about healing in the atonement from Leviticus. And telling that poor person, if they'll write a check for $50 and put it in the mail and send it to him, that God will heal them of their cancer, or God will make their tumor disappear and go away. You know something? In 5 or 6 months, those people are going to be as dead set against God, more so than they were before they ever turned that channel on. You know why? Because they were looking for God to do something for them that He never said He would do, instead of rejoicing in what the Lord actually did for them. Now, I'm not being critical. My wife and other people from our church, this past year, they worked with 400 and some public school children for an hour a week teaching them the Bible. And these boys and girls, you know what they do? They do the lesson. They say, now, if you want to talk and ask some questions, you can stay after. The rest of you kids, we're going to have some games and things. And here's what they'll do. Those children, those boys and girls will come, 8 years old, 9 years old, 10 years old, tears running down their face. And they'll say, if I pray to Jesus, will my daddy come back? If I pray to Jesus, will my mommy quit bringing those men home to our house at night? If I pray to Jesus, will we have food? Tear your heart out. And you know what you got to do? You got to say to that little boy and that little girl, that's not why he came. And the world doesn't want to hear that. And you know what these disciples wanted? They did not want their sins forgiven. They did not want to be washed in the blood. They did not want to have eternal life. They wanted a change of government. They wanted a nicer religion. And when Jesus didn't kick the Romans out of town and put the Pharisees in their place, they quit trusting Him. Come on now. This is a good church. Got the right Bible, you got the right doctrine, you got the right music, you got the right clothes, at least when you're here, and I've been around. And you know what? In the midst of all of this, our heart is deceitful. We love ourselves. And you know what? We really want God to do what we want God to do. Everybody, we hanging in there? We didn't. We want to go back and talk about the tomb and the clothes and all that. That was fun. Look at our prayer lists. Come on now. Look at our prayer lists. Praises, 2 or 3. Gimmies, 1 column, 2 column, turn the page, 3 column, 4 column, turn the page, 5 column, 6 column. Come on now, don't tell me our heart's not in danger of doing this right here. Because we got all kind of things we want God to do, and if He doesn't, we're sad and we're down in the dumps and we're discouraged, and the tomb is empty. He's risen from the dead. The gates to heaven are open wide. Well, yeah, but... All right, 28. And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, he sat at meat with them. He took bread and blessed it and brake and gave it to them. And their eyes were open, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. Speculation? I'm just speculating. Right now, maybe the grave thing, but I'm just speculating. How would you like to sit down at the table and you give thanks, and a man takes a loaf of bread and he breaks a piece off and he reaches it out to you. And when you take that piece of bread out of his hand, you can see right through it to the other side. Come on, didn't Thomas a week later have an opportunity, put his finger in the hole in the hand of Jesus? And when he gave that man that bread, it's him. It's him. And before he could say to his friend, it's him, Jesus gone. Vanished out of their sight. And the Bible says, they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way and while he opened to us the scripture? And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem, found the 11 gathered together, and them that were with them, saying, the Lord is risen indeed. 35, told what things were done in the way, how he was known in them in breaking of bread. Hey guys, how you doing? All right. What you so sad about? Where are you from? What's going on, guys? They killed Jesus. We thought he was going to be, you know, the king and all. We had this parade. We put our coats in the street, and waved the palm branches, and they came out to arrest him, and he just let them do it. They tried to kill him a lot of times, and he just walked away, or he flexed his muscles, or he looked at them, and this time he just stood there, and they beat the daylights out of him. It was terrible. And we went to the tomb, and he said something about 3 days he's going to rise from the dead, and we went out there, and he wasn't there, so I don't know. I don't know what happened. The apostles. Oh, I wish I could be like an apostle. We can. Those same guys, the same day. Woo, fellas, hey, hey. Nothing's changed. Empty tomb's the same. Message is the same, grave clothes the same, what Jesus did the same. The only thing that's changed is now they believe it. That's it. God doesn't have to change the world, you just have to believe. He doesn't have to change your circumstances, you just have to believe. The same people on the same day go from down in the dumps to running to tell their friends. Because they decided to get excited about what God said he would do and make that secondary to what they wanted him to do. You know why we're sad? He should have. You know when we're rejoicing? He did. He did. Brother, sister, we all get down. And that's why. And we can all get out of it as quick as we want to. And that's how. May the Lord help us not just to remember what he said, but to believe what he said. Make all the difference. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we're a murmuring people. We're a complaining people. We're a despairing people. We're a we trusted people. Lord, would you help us? Would you help us in our hours of pointing our finger at what you should have done to allow you to minister to us from your holy words and turn our sorrow into joy and send us back the way we came with enthusiasm and fervor and excitement. Help us, God, please, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.